Well, folks, what is a crack? Welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. This episode is an episode that will be going into our Next Generation series. I got a beautiful message from this guest just saying how much he's enjoying the podcast and how much he's learned from the podcast as well. So I reached out to her and I said, fantastic, let's get you on and let's talk about your career so far. Her name is Laura Ramirez. She's a pre-construction engineer with New South Construction in Atlanta, Georgia. Really refreshing, really passionate episode. She talks about her experience so far studying civil engineering, her transition from the operations side into pre-construction, and then goes into great detail and gives us an insight into what it's like being a young lady, a young woman in construction right now. Really enjoyed this. I hope you do. As always, throughout the podcast, we will hear from our two sponsors, Beck Technology and Concentric.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Laura Ramirez, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me today.
Excellent. Delighted you're able to take part in the Next Generation Pre-Construction Podcast. This is what it's all about. I wanted to say, tell the listeners a little bit of the backstory on this. Laura sent me a message.
She said, I've just moved from the operations side into pre-construction, and I've been listening to your podcast, and it's helped me a lot. So that's what it's all about. That is literally what the podcast's all about. It's helping either high school students, graduates, even senior people find out a little bit more about this wonderful world of pre-construction and the little nuggets of knowledge, inspiration from our guests. It really does go a long way. So rather than me introduce you, Laura, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi. I'm Laura and I'm from Venezuela. I arrived to the US 8 years ago. And I decided studying civil engineering. I took an internship, summer internship as a civil engineer in a small subcontractor company that was mostly Division 9. So all the finishes and stuff. And that's actually that's what got me starting into construction, because after my internship, they offered me the full-time job and I was perfect. I'm going to full-time work as I get my civil engineering degree, and this is going to be amazing for my resume and whatever. But when I started, I didn't know anything about construction. I remember my boss telling me the first day, okay, so yeah, this is your desk and please find the submittals for this project and send them over. And I'm what is a submittal? I was a civil engineer student, so never heard about what was the submittal or anything. So obviously that make a lot of what am I studying at school and what am I doing at work? Of course the background helped, but it didn't really match completely.
It never does. Literally, Laura, no matter what you learn in school, and I think everyone listening will agree with this, especially when their degree, you don't really understand it until you go out and experience it firsthand. But and I love the fact that you did that under Division 9. But let's take it back a little bit in high school. So you're going through high school, right?
Yes.
Was it always going to be construction, or where did that influence come?
Oh, no. So my family is basically divided between healthcare and construction. So they're surveying. My dad was a civil engineer. My uncles and my aunts are engineers too. So my dad obviously saw you're super creative. I was No, I want to do healthcare. I want to do healthcare. And my dad like, but look, architecture might be amazing for you. And I'm like, Dad, I'll never study. No engineering, no architecture, never. And
famous then, last words.
Yes, I was like, I'll never. And then I came to the U.S. I finished high school in Venezuela. And then I arrived to the U.S., as I said, 8 years ago. And I started studying, like, nutrition. And then I was like, hey, like, this is not how it was in Venezuela. Like, I don't think this is going to be the same thing here for me. And then I had to like go back home and be like, okay, I'm going to study civil engineering. And everybody was like, yeah, good. Yeah, I was supportive. Everybody was like super supportive, absolutely super happy. They were like, yes, like that's going to be great for you. And now I finished civil engineering. And something that's funny is like my dad also went from civil. He graduated as a civil engineer and he ended up working in construction. He was a project manager for a Brazilian company called Odebrecht. And his last project was it was the project I was the most like not involved because I was a kid, but I was a dam. Of like okay. An electrical dam. And it was like, I would always go like to the office and see everything, never understanding anything. And now I go back and I see the pictures and I'm like, oh my God, like this is like a massive, I'm like, how much is in there? You know, it's insane. So that definitely
does he do the usual project manager thing and says, I built that?
Yeah, 100%. And then once I started working in construction, I realized like, this is not the same. I don't think I want to design. Like, I love being part of actually building it. And I was in my senior year and I talked to one of my favorite teachers and I was like, hey, listen, like, I need to start applying for jobs. And I'm actually like very like indecisive because I'm in a dilemma because you know I'm studying civil but I really like construction and it's like I'm not gonna use my civil engineer. And he goes like, you're gonna use it because you're gonna use it every day. And construction, like he, at the end of the day, he was like, you can make more money in construction, go ahead, do it. Do you like it? Been there for 2 years already. Do you have the experience? Like, if you go backwards, you're going to lose all of that advantage. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go and do construction because I really love it. And at school, I liked it, obviously, but I liked the concept of it. I didn't like designing. So that's why I ended up in construction.
And it's amazing, right? Well, I'm going to get into it later, but pre-construction, it's amazing the amount of people that go and do architecture, civil engineering, and they decide then that it's not for them. The design side is not for them. So pre-construction is the perfect fall guy and the perfect space to step into. When you were doing the civil engineering and the design wasn't for you, what was your idea of actually the construction side of it? Was construction, or sorry, pre-construction ever in your thought, or was it a case of I want to go on site, wear a hard hat and William?
Yeah, so when I was in my internship, then full-time job at the subcontractor company, I started as an assistant project manager and then I got a promotion as a project manager. So although we were like a smaller company, I had to manage several jobs at the same time. So I will be on job side, but I will obviously, I had some time at the office because we didn't have trailers, but I had to go like from job site to job site and I loved it. Like also since my background is, I'm from Venezuela, my first language is Spanish, that helped tons on the job site. So I was like, this is for me. Obviously, I'm not gonna lie, at the beginning it was very hard because you are a woman and you're young and getting superintendents and getting, you know, like project managers of big GCs look at you and like, you don't even speak perfect English. You are a woman and you're cute and pretty and little. And it took some work to be able to be respected and like taken in account there. But with a lot of work, I did it. Like everybody realized that I knew what I was talking about. I think that's for any woman out there that is in operations, that's the biggest thing. Like if you know what you're talking about, just keep pushing, keep being polite and you know, don't let anybody step on you, but like people's gonna realize that if you know what you're talking about, you're people's gonna respect it. So obviously that was a big thing for me. I was like, I know Spanish, like operations is like the best place for me to be. But then I arrived to New South and they didn't have a project starting for me. And they were like, okay, like just stay in pre-con for 2 weeks while we assigned you a project. And I was like, okay, cool, perfect. And I stayed in pre-construction 2 weeks and my boss asked me, they're gonna start assigning you a project, but I just wanted to put out there if you wanted to stay in pre-con, we're happy to have you. And I was like, I want to stay in pre-con. I didn't even have to think about it. I was like, I love it because it's the perfect mix between whatever you know in operations, in civil engineering, and like all combined.
Because Laura, so this is the perfect scenario, right? So this is the problem that we have. So you really, and I'll ask you the question, but I'm presuming that the first time that you were introduced to pre-con, you were kind of put in there for a couple of weeks just to pass the time. So this is the problem that we have. You should have known about pre-construction, and I don't want to get overexcited saying in high school, but definitely within your civil engineering degree. When you went to your boss, your lecturer, and said, listen, I don't like the design, I want to go on the construction side. And then he should have said, well, if you like the construction side, you like a little bit of design, you want to get involved in as many projects as possible, you should go to a general contractor or a subcontractor and be a pre-construction engineer. That should have been your path. Unfortunately, you had to fall into it, fall in love with pre-construction, and then your boss see real potential for him to ask you.
Yeah, and then something that is funny about that is like before, because I was in the subcontractor company that I was before, I was obviously a project manager and I had to talk to the estimator all the time. But to me, and then like sometimes since it's a small company, you know, you got to do everything. And sometimes they would like ask me like, oh, can you please like maybe do these takeoffs? Can you please check that estimate real quick because we need to send it and I'm busy and I'm like, okay. So I will have to talk to the estimator all the time, even do takeoffs sometimes. And to me it was like, okay, she's just doing takeoffs and like putting prices on it. You know, that was my idea of pre-con. And then I got here and I was like, wait, what? Like, this is not what I thought it was. Like, you basically have to build the whole project in your head before it's built. And a phrase that really stuck with me that I feel like if everybody is presented pre-construction in that way, it was Stuart, the president of BEC. It was in one of your podcasts at the beginning. He said, pre-construction is where you can make the biggest impact on the project. But to me, it wasn't like, okay, it's not that operations is not important. He's not saying that at all. Nobody's saying that. It's just like, that's the place where if you have great communication between design, the designer, the owner, GC, and obviously subcontractors, you can avoid the most amount of like mistakes, problems, save the most amount of money, understand what the owner needs so you can give them the best value for their money and like get whatever they need about that project like fulfilled, you know. So if everybody will present pre-construction in that way, I feel like it will be very different. And like, then, oh yeah, I'm just doing takeoffs, I'm putting numbers in there, you know.
Yeah, and so, Laura, listen, that's ideal, right? Even if it's talked about at all within your degree, I mean, I speak to lecturers all the time. They don't even talk about it in a construction management degree. It's a small module within their degree. It should be talked about then, and then let people understand the technology, the BIM, the VDC, the data that's involved, the historical data, the technology that's involved. It's sexy, but we need to talk about it. We need to talk about pre-construction.
And listen, that's what the podcast is about. Stuart's very articulate about talking about that sort of stuff as well. He's amazing. Shout out to Stuart. But the thing that gets me, and in fairness to all the big GCs, they are doing like a rotation now. So they're bringing their project engineers, they're putting them into pre-con for 6 months, they're putting them into VDC, operations, maybe the safety. So they're giving them exposure to everything. What was it when you went to pre-construction for those 2 weeks? What was it that really caught your eye and said, you know what, this really is where I belong?
Doing estimation in a subcontractor is completely different than doing estimation in a GC world, because as a subcontractor, you just care about your trade. And that was the experience that I had. But when I got here, my first project, so we do mostly, we have like all market sectors, and I started a multifamily project for my first project. And my boss, she gave me hardscapes, and I sit down with her for like 15 minutes, and the amount of cooperation between trades that I saw in hardscape for like 10 minutes, I was like, okay, wait, this is way more, like, how you have to understand every single part of the project and be able to coordinate all of that. So the project, in 10 minutes that I talked to my boss, she was like, yeah, and then I have to see if the side guy is going to do the, yeah, but then, okay, this part is waterproofer. And I saw that, and I was like, what in the world? Like, it's just insane. It's so good. Then another friend, like another coworker, comes and he's like, yeah, sit down with me for another 10 minutes. Yeah, but you know, like, this is not just like takeoff. Like, you need to like develop your sales abilities, because you need to make, you know, the subs to get like interested on the project so they will bid. And I was like, oh, okay, so there's another thing. And like, you know, it's just, and then little by little, looking at the plans, as in operations, you know, it's going to be, you're going to start building it, so you're going to see it. But in pre-con, you are not always there. Thankfully, New South really pushes us to go out on job sites. Like, good. We have minimum once a month, minimum, we go out on a job site that we worked on and we see whatever it is, which has been amazing, honestly. But going back to that, it's like, you have to build it completely if you don't have a model, which we do sometimes, but if you don't have it, you have to build it up and like think about all of these things to make it happen. And I feel like my engineering side goes very well with that, because you're just designing. Here I'm not designing it, but it's still my head only.
And that's the key, right? And your APM, so assistant project manager experience, a project manager experience, a GEA signal, that would have, an integrated solution, sorry, that would have been so beneficial to you in pre-construction. And as you say, we are all visual people. Everyone in the world, I think it's, they worked it out, 76, 77% of us are visual. We take information in through our eyes rather than through our ears. And then what obviously, someone like you, a graduate, so you're doing it in your second language, firstly, and then you're coming into it relatively inexperienced and being given all this information. Surely there's a thought of being overwhelmed. I mean, how did you get over that? And was it just a case of, you know what, this seems overwhelming and it seems like I can't do it, but I'm going to throw myself at it anyway?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that comes from, engineering is not easy, and you're overwhelmed all the time with new information. So I feel like it's great to get exposed to all of this information in pre-con. And I would say to like any, so you're in school and you're getting all of this information. If you don't learn it, you don't pass, so you don't graduate. So you are like on that mode. And then working a full time in construction and studying engineer, that was like more, but I was kind of like, I just need to go. And that I guess that was my motivation. And now that I'm graduated, which I recommend everybody, if you can have, if you are still in school and whatever it is your major, related with construction, find try to get internships, because that's exactly what's gonna tell you what you want before you are out there for real. Like for me, like I'm the best example. I thought I wanted to do civil, and no, I ended up in construction. So, but then here, it is overwhelming, but at the same time, I think it's very beneficial, because in pre-con, you're able to get exposed to 3 to 4 projects, or even more. I've been here for almost a year, and I've been probably in around 8 projects already of like completely different sectors. So if you have that ability of like get all that information and like learn it like fast, take advantage of that in your first years after you graduate, because you're still on that mode and it's kind of like, I gotta do it. Like, I just gotta do it. But another thing that also helps me when, you know, sometimes I feel like it's fine, maybe not people, because mostly you're not gonna know you have a mentor until you already have it, because that's what's happening in my life. Like, listen to like your senior managers, listen to what they say, like, calm down and know that this is the time for you to learn, and then you're gonna, when you get the experience, it's gonna be completely different, and find ways to get motivated. Because one thing is like, go and do it, and another thing is like doing it while you're motivated and you're excited about doing it. And I feel like tools like the pre-construction podcast, being on LinkedIn, and instead of like scrolling in regular social media, but you're in LinkedIn and you're like learning about all these new things that are happening, and imagining that you're gonna be part of that, or listening to the pre-construction podcast and hear somebody that's been working on this for 30 years and listening to all the amazing things they're doing, that they're a vice president and like part of a board on an association. It's like, okay, if they could do it, I can do it. I just gotta like keep pushing and learn as much as I can. But of course it's different when you're motivated and when you're not. And the best thing is like, just try to keep yourself motivated with information that's gonna help you wake up every day and be like, let me go and get it all and give the best of me for sure.
You're a passionate sponge. That's what I'm getting from this. You're so passionate about what you do, but you're also a sponge and taking in information. What you just described there now about internships and about working full time where you're studying a degree, there is a common denominator in that, and the fact that it breeds success. The people that I've interviewed at VP level, executive level, C-suite level, that have got to the top the quickest, they all did that. They all threw themselves into anything that came about them, did not think about the consequences, absorbed all the information, studied at the same time, and they grew much, much faster in their careers than everyone else. So that's brilliant advice, Laura. The other thing I wanted to say, obviously it's called the next generation of the pre-construction leaders, right? You've said there you're at New South now for a year. What has New South done well, and what can GCs do better for people coming into the industry?
You mean as like me getting in here, like as a new, like just in general?
Yeah, just in general, and the fact that within pre-construction as well, you can talk about it in construction in general, but within pre-construction, how do we get better at our job, make our jobs easier? Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about culture, I'm talking about flexibility, I'm talking about technology, I'm talking about all the things that are important.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was very lucky to be in New South. I'm honestly, like, I've been here for a year and it's been an amazing experience. First of all, the culture of the company, it's amazing. Since I'm here, all they've tried to do is like teach me, give me opportunities. Tell me, like, I know you've never done this, but I trust you, go ahead, do it. And if you have questions, come here and like, I will help you. Do you want to be a part of like Hispanic Association in construction? Go ahead, we support you. So that, I feel like that in a company, any company, it's amazing, because you feel like they care about you. And I see it not only me that I'm just arriving, I see it in everybody else, seniors. And also, something great, it's like they push employees to create relationships outside of your department, because they are a big, you are a GC, but the fact that you are working in pre-construction doesn't mean that you don't need to create a relationship with your project managers. For you to be able to be a successful pre-construction project, like a pre-com manager or whatever, you need to understand all parts of construction. That way you anticipate any problem. If you have great communication with them, you learn what you didn't do right in the other in that project, so that way you can learn. So something that's really cool is that whenever we go to job sites, that we try to go at least once a month. It's like the first 10 to 20 minutes, once we get there, we sit down with operations and we get an update of the project, and then any of the seniors is gonna ask them, okay, in these last 3 months that we haven't been here, what has happened that we can improve in pre-con that can avoid those problems that already happened. So I feel like that's something that is great. You get to understand the whole process, but learning from operations makes us better in what we do for next projects. And for a reason, New South has 90% of repetitive owners. We work with the same owners, the same clients 90% of the time. It's because we do extra stuff. New South does extra stuff that it's going to make us better with that client or any other client. They push a lot on like our VE opportunities when we have our schedule, when we're going to give a bid away. I don't know if this is something that everybody does, but it's something really cool. And I think we sit down for 2 days in our schedule. We have 2 days of VEs. Like, you've been thinking obviously of VEs the whole time you're being pricing this job, but then you have two exclusive days that you should dedicate them to think about your VEs, talk to your subcontractors, what do they think that we can provide the owner? And it's like, we, to be able to provide like the most value to the owner. And also they're very open to like, for example, a few days ago, I was talking to my senior, which is like a role model for me. She's amazing. About, oh yeah, 4D modeling. Yeah, that will be so awesome. Like, yeah, like, oh, building. She was explaining everything about like, yeah, building design, and like, you have a really good mix that we can bring all the new stuff to pre-con. Like, we have one of my coworkers is like, and he codes, like, yeah. And here everybody's like, oh yeah, he's the best at this. Like, what do you want to do? Oh, do you want to fix or I don't know, or estimating shit? There you go. Go ahead. Like, do it. Take 2 days. And, you know, so like, we have that freedom of like, yeah, let me do what I'm good at, and they push you to do it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And that's what you want. You need autonomy. As you say, every team is completely diverse. So you've got to, we talked about this in a previous podcast, is pre-construction teams are going to look very different in the future. It's not just going to be four or five estimators. It's going to be a data engineer. It's going to be a VDC BIM modeler. It's going to be a traditional pre-construction manager. And then it might be a pre-construction manager who's incredible with the clients. One thing I always like asking as well, especially to the people just coming into the industry, what do you enjoy most about the pre-construction? Is it the client interaction? Is it the scheduling? Is it the costing? Is it the technology? Is it the value engineering? Is there anything that kind of has surprised you? You think, wow, I didn't know I would enjoy that as much.
Definitely like building relationships, either with owners or subcontractors. I feel like it's like the most important thing, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, that sales aspect of not only sales, but like actually creating long lasting relationships with them, which is not easy. And mostly when you're starting, because it's like they have already a relationship of 5 years with a project pre-com manager, but you have to like go and like actually care about it. It's like, it's not just numbers and like plans, it's people's. It's like, you need to generally care about people, that way you can like enjoy that part of pre-con. And also something that it's very exciting for me is in the part of technology is like we all, which is how we get modeling models once in a while, but we've been talking, we have a whole BAM team, but obviously it's exciting when we get models and like, cause it's like just walking through it. I don't know if you've ever played The Sims.
But yeah, yeah. Oh, like, everybody, I used to love it. Yeah.
So whenever a rabbit file comes, I'm like, oh my god, this is the same feeling. It's like okay, this is 10 times better. So it's like very. That's something that I'm excited about. I feel like it's coming. It's definitely coming more, and it's be more important. And like the level of detail that it's gonna get to, like. Right now it's just a wall, but maybe later it's gonna be like, okay, you got your insulation, your plywood, and you're gonna be able to see all of that and make it more automatic to count all of those things. I love grabbing the 2D plan and building it 3D in my head. I love it, but obviously it's a different feeling when you're actually walking your project on the computer. So those are two things that I really enjoy about Precon.
Love it. And let's all hope, Laura, that we're getting BIM models, Revit models, and the quantities are in it and everything's there. So all you're doing is build it in your head, putting numbers in there, and then communicating that with the client. I love it. Yeah. And I think what you said as well is very important, especially for the people coming up. Your network is so important. The fact that the penny has dropped with you already at such a young age, it's incredible. That will stand you to you throughout your career. Last question now. Piece of advice if someone at high school came to you and asked for your advice on a career and asked to talk to you about construction, what sort of advice would you give them, and especially if it was a female?
If they're in high school, that's different. That I feel like that answer will be different if they're in college and knowing what they're studying than in high school. But I will definitely say that first of all, construction, it's one of the most amazing careers that you can have since the beginning of human history. The amazing things that humans have been able to create for years in construction, I think it's the most exciting thing. And that whatever you feel like you have a potential in, if you either a creative person, you're a detailed person, you are a leader and a manager and or you're like hands-on person, there is going to be a place for you in construction. And if you are a woman, just be persistent. Don't change who you think you are, because that makes you different. Many, many times at the beginning of my, I'm still at the beginning of my career, but like at the most beginning, I will go to like and meeting with GCs and owners or whatever, and they will be like, don't you want to wear boots? Like, why are you in, like, I was in heels and like blazer, and it's like, do you want to wear like jeans and boots just to like, and I would be like, no, because this is who I am and this is what I'm bringing to the table. This is the difference that a man cannot bring on the table. So be sure on who you are, and don't let it change, because construction is changing. And there is going to be like, you know, we are having a bigger voice in it, because as you have mentioned before, women are very detail oriented. So don't let that construction is it's a place for only men, or like for dirty men, or like, no, there is a space here. And pre-construction, it's a great place for that, because you're going to be working directly with designers and owners and like trying to understand everything so this project can be built. So if the job site is not for you, you have a place. But if the job site is for you, then, you know, it's just amazing. I love construction. I will definitely recommend everybody to like just keep an eye on it, because whatever you want to do, there's going to be a place for you there.
And that's all I think we're asking for AA teachers in high schools, to let their students know that it's an option, but also talk about it in that way, that it's not just hard hat men in dirty boots. It's actually pre-construction
it's technology, it's modeling, and then there is the building side of it as well, then the subcontractor.
And it's a business. Like, if people will understand in high school that construction is a business that needs all, like, it's not just technology, it's also administration, insurance. Like, there is insurance for other businesses, not the same. So it's you, whatever you want, it's in construction. Yeah. So yeah, I
love it. I love your passion, honestly. I can't wait to follow your career, Laura. And this has been fantastic. I know that the audience will get some real value from it. And hopefully we've bred a few more young female pre-construction engineers.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for inspiring people like me to keep, to come to work happy every day and excited about what we're doing.
Wonderful. Laura Ramirez, welcome to Question Time.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Good. You've just taken part in the Next Generation series of the podcast. You're a pre-construction engineer with New South Construction in Atlanta, Georgia. First question, what is your favorite or has been your favorite project?
Definitely right now I'm working on a project at the Atlanta Airport. So it's a office building that we're doing for the administrative side of the airport, but the project is an LEED project, a LEED project. So that's very exciting. We have a different type of systems, like picking water up to be reused, and all of that is very interesting. It's a good thing about New South that we have so many market sectors that have already been in aviation, multifamily, commercial, religious, and like universities. So wow. Yeah, but aviation's been my favorite for sure.
All within a year as well. My yeah. God, brilliant. And then second question, what has, now again, I know you're next generation, but your biggest lesson or the biggest lesson that you've learned so far in construction?
Definitely, wherever you are in construction, definitely have everything written down. Like, make sure that whatever is communicated between any person and you is reported. Not only, like, obviously, if you are in operations, it's kind of like, oh, they want this change order, email, please. And then in the GC side, it was more like we had like this meeting with the owner and architects, and we had like a huge list of questions. And like, instead of doing an RFI, we kind of did like a big meeting with them and like write our stuff down. But then at the end of the project, when we, you know, gave the project in and they were like checking on everything, we didn't qualify those answers that they gave us because we were like, okay, we were in a meeting, everybody knows about it, didn't qualify them, and then they forgot they said what they said. So it was, you know, so make sure everything you have is write down and that you can bring it back.
Great advice. You're never going to forget that again.
Yeah.
And then third question, how do you de-stress? I know you've got a young family, but what do you do to get away from the stresses of pre-construction?
Yeah, well, I love hiking. I love, I'm very active. So I love hiking, yoga, going to the gym, all types of things. And obviously meditation and yoga are like, I think, the biggest. If you are in construction, find a way to, you know, relax, because you'll need it.
Well, Laura, that's a first. Meditation, I haven't had that as an answer. I love it. I might try it.
Yeah, for sure. It's really good.
Fourth question, favorite food?
Pasta.
Oh, I love pasta. Nice. I was expecting a different answer from someone from Venezuela.
I know. I will always love pasta. I always love Venezuelan food, but like, pasta has a special place in my heart.
Brilliant. Love it. Favorite sports team?
I was a swimmer, so I never really follow a lot of, but maybe basketball, the 76ers, I think they will be my favorite.
Nice, nice. And so far in your career, who's been the biggest influence or maybe the best mentor that you've had?
Well, I can mention, like, many mentors that I had in a way or another, but so far I have two really big people I look up to. As a subcontractor, it was my project manager and the estimator. He was like the project manager of the company. He's also a civil engineer background from my country. And I will sit down with him for hours and he will like teach me all of these things that at the end of the day, I still use. His name is Edwin and he works for that subcontractor company. And right now I will say two of my senior project managers, they're women. They're in senior pre-construction. They're both women, and you know, there's not many of those
keeping it real with the ladies. Yeah, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there is not a lot of those, but like the Alex Champagne, it's one of the people I look up the most. Like she has had an amazing career in pre-construction, graduated also as a civil engineer from Georgia Tech, and in 10 years she became a senior pre-construction manager. So she's definitely somebody I really look up to in every way.
There's definitely a common denominator here. It seems like you're sticking with the civil engineers, huh?
Yes. Like we think alike, I think.
Very good. Last question. So you're in town, you're celebrating a big bid win. Where do you guys go to celebrate? Restaurant, pub? What's the best place to eat in Atlanta these days?
Oh, I'm a foodie. So if we can go to eat food, we will go. And honestly, Atlanta, it's a city that it's growing a lot. Right now, our office is located in Midtown, and only here there are 5 cranes like built up at the same time, which is amazing. The amount of coordination that these projects have here, it's amazing. So it's a growing city, and we always have new restaurants to go try. I will say our favorite one is one in the corner, so we don't have to walk a lot, and they have a little bit of everything. It's a pub, good. You know,
love it. Exactly, plenty of selection. Laura, thank you so much for being on the podcast but also doing question time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. No doubt about it. Laura's energy and passion, it really is infectious. Loved having a chat with her. As always, if you want to connect with Laura, maybe ask her a few follow-up questions, I will drop her LinkedIn profile down below. And please subscribe, share, comment the Pre-Construction Podcast. Your support is so important.